The leaders for Children's Church, you may go down there, and parents, please sign your children in and out. Sorry? I didn't want you to. It's such an amazing thing what God can do in what you think he can't, you know? And we all know, like, we all got that education, we all got the intellectual agreement that he can do anything. And I'm just so grateful. Thank you for sharing. And I trust that this morning, your time here will be an encouragement to everyone from Hope Mission. Bethany, we want to welcome you, and we want to encourage you. And thank you for coming this morning. Well, if you can please turn in the scriptures to Luke chapter 17, 11 to 19 this morning. Going to be engaging in a portion of text that really, really fitting this morning, spiritually speaking. And I hope that as we sit here together, we can open up the Word and understand that He wants to tell us something this morning. God speaks through His Word. And I just pray that, my heart this morning has been very softened, and I hope yours has too. By the way, if you want to help Kelly in any of these things, please go talk to him. Like, don't let this moment pass you by. Maybe God is stirring in your heart a place to serve. So, please go talk to him. Not right now, but after the service. There's a story of a man who went hiking on his own. And he was an experienced hiker, but he got himself lost. And he found himself to be in kind of a desperate situation, so he decided, I'm just gonna stop and pray. And as he was, this is now, he's sharing about this with a friend. And so his friend turns around and said, did God answer your prayer? And he goes, oh, no. No, and the man replied, before God had a chance, a guide came along and showed me the way out. just totally missed it, didn't he? Totally missed it. It's like us waking up in the morning and seeing the sunshine and not giving God the credit. It's like us sitting and watching the snow come down, seeing God redecorate his beautiful planet and us complain. It's like us hearing the rain outside and not giving God the glory. It's like us eating the same cereal every day and complain about it when there are people that would be happily to change their place with you. It's like us complaining, I have to get up early, go to work, and there's people who would be just, will do anything to do that. Our complaining spirit, our lack of recognition of our sovereign God does reflect who we are and what we think of Him. This idea of Jesus moving now from the Galilean area, moving down to Jerusalem, and he's taking an unusual path to get down there for whatever reason. Well, Jesus has a plan, but most practicing Jews who took their faith their religion very seriously. They would avoid Samaria at all costs. So they would actually take an inconvenient route to go a different way to avoid the border of Samaria. And Jesus did not do that this time. How the Jews viewed Samaritans were marginalized. They were repulsive. They were uncomfortable. They needed to be avoided at all costs. And Jesus said, no. Those who are viewed this way need to know the love of God equally so. And so he decided to go, probably at the expense of some of the uncomfortable feelings of those who were following him, he decided to go down along the border of Samaria, and for a purpose that we are going to see this morning. Now back to the whole sun, stars, rain illustration. Whether you believe God or not, God is blessing you. You know, I don't know what else to say. God is blessing you at this very moment. You have a breath to breathe. To be oblivious of that fact is to look at God in spite. To be unrecognizing of this fact is to look at God as insulting him, and to even think of our blessings as something as a result of what I have done is completely and utterly disrespectful to God in every single way, shape, and form. We need to look at God and be with an attitude of bringing glory to him in all of these things, and to sit truthfully at his feet with thankful and grateful hearts. Let's look at the text this morning. Just a few verses in Luke 17:11-19. It says this: on the way to Jerusalem, he was passing along between Samaria and Galilee. And Luke is providing details here that is unusual. This is not in regular practice for a practicing rabbi. Why would he do such a thing? He is threatening to be defiled by doing this. This is unusual. Luke provides incredible details as to Jesus' motives. Let's keep going. Verse 12. And as he entered a village unnamed at this point, we don't know where, he met 10 lepers who stood at a distance. Notice the language. It is important. In verse 13, and lifted up their voices saying, Jesus, Master, with the hands on the table saying, have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. Verse 14, when he saw them, he said to them, go and show yourselves to the priest. And they went, and they were cleansed. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud... This is an interesting thing that Luke includes here, with a loud voice. Notice that now. I want to talk about that in just a little bit. Because us Baptists, we don't like loud voices too much. That's a little out of our comfort zone, for those of you who may not know. This whole amen thing, just keep doing it. I love it. Gets me pumped. So with a loud voice, he turned around and gave thanks to Jesus. This is incredible. Verse 16, and he fell at his face. Another very peculiar thing. But it's a posture here that I think we need to take note. Fell at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. And then here's Luke again, adding more incredible detail. Now he was what? A Samaritan, a marginalized person, one that we would care not to be involved with, is a Samaritan. He's making a point here, one for us that we need to take notice of right now. Verse 17. Then Jesus answered. Now he's going to run into some rhetorical questions here. He knows the answers to these. But what he's trying to do is get people to answer to prove a point. He says this: were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this, what? Foreigner. Interesting, the language that Luke continues to include here. And he said to them, rise and go your way. This is to the one that came back. Your faith has made you well. We should respond to God's blessings by glorifying Him at His feet from incredibly thankful hearts full of gratitude. And I'm embarrassed that that does not mark my life from time to time. Now, when you look at the text here, let's go back to verse 11. We've read the whole thing, and he says, on their way to Jerusalem, he was passing along between Samaria and Galilee. So we have more information that Luke has included, and he's setting the scene now, as I had just said a few moments ago. This was an uncomfortable path for them to take. They're risking defilement here, which is not cool, because all the inconvenience of getting, you know, ritually cleansed again, that can take up to a week, and Jesus is now risking all of this inconvenience to go reach the people who need it. God has called us at times to a life of inconvenience, to a life to engage in areas that are uncomfortable, that puts us in a space where we cannot trust ourselves but wholly trust in God. I know that's a scary place. I know that's a place that we don't really like to be. But as Christians, we should look at that as opportunity, not as one to run away from, not to go the convenient, well, the inconvenient way to avoid ministry, but to go the inconvenient way and reach out to those who need it the most. See, that's what Jesus is modeling here. When we look at our first point here, I didn't have time to do the PowerPoint slides, and for that I apologize, but you can write these down. The first thing here we find is in verse 12. As he entered a village, unnamed, we don't know, and at this point it doesn't matter, he was met by 10 lepers who stood at a distance, See, what they were doing here, they stood at a distance. They were obeying the ritualistic, the impurity principles, is that you got to stand far off and yell to those who are coming around you, unclean, unclean. They got to dress a certain way. They got to act a certain way. They got to do certain things so that they don't defile others. See, there was so much placed upon these dear people who had leprosy that marginalized them to a point that was so, so humiliating and dreadful. Now, let's think about this for a moment. I think we talked about this when we studied Luke chapter 5, but that was so long ago. Let's take some time to remember about leprosy. Now, the word leprosy in Scripture is to describe all kinds of skin diseases. All kinds. It was all just bunched into one. Now, the most dreadful skin disease that we know as leprosy is known as Hansen's disease. And that has two strains, a less aggressive form that can eventually heal itself, but over time. But then there is a dreadful form, awful form of leprosy, of Hansen's disease, that is absolutely terminal. And dreadful, and it could be a dying process of pain and suffering for anywhere between 25 to 35 years. Horrifying. William Barclay says this. He describes Hansen's disease this way, and it's a little gross, but I think it provides context, because we got to remember these 10 lepers were off to the side, and this is probably what they look like. William Barclay says this. It might begin with little nodules which go on to ulcerate. These ulcers develop a foul-smelling discharge. It's not pleasant at all. The eyebrows fall out. The eyes become sunken. Get this now, because you have the, in just a little bit, you have the leper shouting out to Jesus, "Have mercy on me," don't you? But look at what one of the effects of leprosy is. It affects your vocal cords. And so it kind of sounds like you're like breathing these words out and raspy like this. "Master, have mercy." You know what I'm saying? My voice might turn like that in just a moment if I keep going the way I am. Kind of like a wheezy breath kind of sound. The hands and feet also ulcerate. Slowly, the sufferer becomes a mass of ulcerated growths, and the average course here is anywhere to 25 to 35 years. It's hard to say, give or take. It's a terrible progressive death. That's physically. Then you have the terrible effects socially of this disease that puts them off to the side. They want to hide it. It's like when Edmonton built this downtown rink and they want to actually hide what is actually there because it's exposing a problem. There's no difference. No difference here. We're trying to hide this problem by pushing it away. Maybe if we ignore it, we don't have to deal with it. There's a social consequence to this terrible disease of leprosy that is being experienced. They're absolutely cut off from society. In effect, they are considered this, dead to me. They don't exist. They're dead. Now, I have never had anyone, well, not that I know of, say that about me. What a horrible thing to say. To treat that person as if they were dead. They don't exist. And they're walking right by. They're dead to me. As a Christ follower, that is not in our vocabulary. We cannot allow ourselves to think of this marginalization because of these types of uncomfortable things that might make us feel. We have to be willing to open that door. We have to be willing to say, you can stay here if you need to. Because you never know what's going to come out of it. Never know. See, these are the type of people, they were separated, marginalized, and Jesus going out of his way down the border of Samaria and Israel, these are the people with whom he's coming into contact with. These 10 lepers sitting at the gate who stood at a distance. I want you to hear this now. The Bible all wants us to see that every one of us in a natural state before God is a spiritual leper. We all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. The way that we think of that marginalized person on the road, God thinks of us without Christ. He cannot have relationship with him. He's separated between us. That's the result of sin. This relational separation, but here's the promise and here's the good news. See, that's the bad news. The good news is that in Jesus, there is no sin too big that God cannot forgive. That's where the hope that we have in Christ. That's why Jesus decided to take his troop, his team, and go along in an inconvenient way to show that there is hope to the marginalized. There is hope and forgiveness and grace and mercy available. But first, what the lepers needed to do to Jesus and what we need to do before our Heavenly Father is admit our need for him. Admit our need. That's a humbling thing. Pride keeps us from saying that I need forgiveness, I need grace, I need mercy, because we want to be able to control our own destiny when in reality we cannot. We have got no spiritual currency whatsoever to pay the price of sin that we owe to God. Only Jesus does. And it's in Jesus' name that we go to him with brokenness, with this idea, knowing that, yes, I am miserable. I've got this peace that I need this peace, and I can't get it. And I'm looking to the Master, and I'm saying, Master, have mercy on me. And that's what we do when we confess Christ. First, we admit our need for him. This is what the 10 did. They admitted their need for him. Secondly, in verse 13, and they lifted up their voices saying, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. First of all, they were crying out to him with that raspy, wheezy, breathy voice. That to me It's like somebody that you can't hear. It's easy to ignore, but Jesus never ignores that cry. See, for us, we can say, oh, don't hear it. We can ignore it, but Jesus cannot. That's what I love about this story. It just brings me hope. See, no matter how down in the dumps, no matter how marginalized we feel, no matter, we may even say to ourselves these very words, I am unforgivable, but Jesus says, no, you are not. That's where the hope is. That's the cool part of this story. That's where Jesus hears the raspy, breathy voice with the hands on the table. But see, this is where it gets interesting, because when they recognize Jesus as who? How do they recognize him? Master. See, when you admit a need, you have a need, you have to go to those who are qualified to meet the need. And that, in their mind, is obviously and clearly Christ. Because he is the only one that has the spiritual currency, so to speak, to pay the price for our sin. To say and satisfy God's wrath on our behalf. It's Jesus and Jesus alone. See, for whatever reason, I don't know why, we're not given the details, but these 10 lepers said, Jesus, Master, Kyrios, Lord. They're recognizing him and giving him position of lordship. Now, this is just an illustration of what's necessary. There's actually a sad part to the 9 of the 10 of this story that we're going to get to in just a bit. But they recognize to the Master, to Jesus, that they need both mercy and grace. Mercy and grace. Mercy and grace. See, grace is getting something that we don't deserve. Mercy is not getting something that we do deserve. When you think of those two things, they're asking for that. See, the lepers weren't sitting back saying, yeah, Jesus owes to heal us here. Yeah, just watch this. He owes me. I deserve it. They weren't saying that. They weren't saying that at all. They're crying out for what? Mercy. Give us something that we don't deserve. See, all of us before God are sinners. None of us deserve mercy. What we deserve is God's wrath. But because of his grace and love, which is so great, so enormous, that he reaches out and he's saying, trust me. I'm available. Believe in me. Remember last week we talked about belief, having that both intellectual aspect of it and the trusting aspect of it. That's what we need. We need to believe and repent. We need to believe and obey. But not to get anything out of it for us. It's to bring glory and honor to him. God gets the glory for whatever he does, because it's nothing in and of ourselves that I even deserve what I get. The blessings that I receive are all because of his grace and mercy. We actually deserve God's wrath, but instead he gives us mercy. In Romans it says, God is abounding in riches for all who, guess what? Call upon him. For everyone calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. When Moses asked to see God's glory, the Lord passed by in front of him and proclaimed this in Exodus 34. He says, the Lord, a God, get this, a God merciful and gracious. Merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness, keeping steadfast love for thousands. And on it goes. See, his holiness demands, yes, a judgment on sin. And we understand that. But his mercy is available for each and every one of us to receive his grace. Will you trust him this morning? Will you admit your need this morning? Admit to the one who is qualified to pay the price for our sin? Will you trust him this morning? See, when you look at the next verse in verse 14, when he saw them, he said to them, go and show yourselves to the priests. And so they went, and as they went, they were what? They were cleansed. Now, I don't know. Luke kind of leaves some stuff out here. If I were them, if I was one of those people in that position, I would be debating in my mind at this point. Because when he says, go to the priests, that is to go and get ritually purified to get kind of quantifiable evidence from the priest, that which takes weeks to do, okay? Weeks to do, that they are indeed healed. That's what it means to go to the priests and find out. But the problem is, when Jesus gave them that command, were they healed? No. So can you imagine just these 10 lepers sitting there? Should we go? Like, I'm looking down. I'm like, I'm not healed. Are you healed? I'm not healed. But he's telling us to go to the priest. Should we do that? Like, but we're not healed. I know. But they still went. Now, I can't imagine as they turned, okay, they're sitting here. Jesus says, okay, go to the priests. And they're like, right. Why? But because they recognized him as master, maybe they can get something out of this if they obey. So they turn around and they go. And as they were going, what happens? They were healed. Now, I don't know if it was one after the other, if it was all at the same time, or, you know, they're dropping the crutches and, you know, the bandages are coming off and they're whooping and hollering and they're getting all excited and they can't believe this is happening. All the time they're experiencing the blessings from God, but meanwhile, the nine did not give credit to him. See, they got what they needed out of Jesus, and they went their own way. May we never use our God for our benefit. It's all for God's glory. It's all for God's glory. We cannot lose this sight or this fact on this. Yes, they were all restored, and yes, they obeyed, but to a point. But yet when they received this blessing, they forgot the blesser. It's so sad. It's so sad. God is blessing all of us, and at the same time, it's every blessing is screaming to look at the blesser. Have you looked at him this morning? When you wake up and say, thank you, Lord, for another day that I can bring honor and glory to your name. Verse 15, then one of them who saw that he was healed, get this now. This is cool. I love this part. He turned back, praising God with a, Peter, you can be as loud as you want in that class downstairs. I'm just going to say it right now. You know, I get so pumped when you talk about theology because, you know, it's not boring, by the way. You know, you mentioned justification, sanctification, glorification, all these things. Like, I am pumped about that stuff because I've been redeemed by the glory of God, and we can learn these things to his glory. This one leper got the hugest theology lesson ever, and he's turning around with a loud voice praising him. I love it. I just think this is so great. Gratitude and thanksgiving are fruit of saving faith. And 1 out of 10 had it. What marks your life this morning? You know, I just know in my own life that it's so much easier for me to complain than it is to have gratitude. I fight that battle of my carnality, my flesh, all the time. I don't know, you know, maybe I'm the only one. I hate catching yellow lights. I just grumble every time when I catch a yellow light. And I don't know about you, but I just get so frustrated. Not another yellow light. Meanwhile, I'm driving in a car, which is amazing. I had gas to put in the car, which is unbelievable. I had the ability to purchase the gas, which is unthinkable for most people on this planet. And here I am complaining about a stinking yellow light. Maybe every yellow light now, we got to sit there and say, thank you, Lord, for this yellow light. All of us better thank God, right? Maybe we just need to slow down and think about our blessings, don't we? Don't we just need to just slow down I'm in such a hurry to catch that green light in my life, and we need more yellows and reds. We can just scream on by and forget about the blesser and just focus on how good I got it, but forget the fact of who blessed me. Shame on me. Shame on us. It's not the way it's to be. Instead, we should be like this one leper who turned back and said, "Praise God." It really should illustrate this story about the one leper going back to Jesus. I'm going to go out on a limb here. It should illustrate every one of us before a holy God. How much do we even shout about the blessings? Are we even vocal about what Jesus has done for us? Are we even thankful? Is there anything in us that causes us to swell up inside and just things fall out because we're so grateful for what God has done? Just love it. You know, the idea of praising God, it says it twice in here. It means this: praise enthusiastically His attributes and His actions. Okay, could you catch that? That's another word for extol God. That's another word for it. Praise enthusiastically both His attributes and His actions. That's what the leper was doing here. To exalt Him, so it's one thing is to praise enthusiastically, and then to exalt Him, catch this, to let others know how great He is. There is a huge difference of being thankful, and there's a great difference between showing and declaring our thankfulness. The scriptures say in Psalm 150, it says, "Let everything that has breath," what? Praise the Lord. It's a command. It's a command. And here I complain at a stinking yellow light. It's so sad. And really, that's disobedience. We're not to be complaining about anything. In all circumstances, we need to give thanks. In all circumstances. Here in verse 16 now, "And he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving thanks." Now he was a Samaritan, it says. So he throws that little tidbit in because those who are listening, as soon as he reveals that he was a Samaritan, it'd be like that gasp. How could that be? He was a Samaritan giving thanks. How is this possible? They're dead to us. They should be marginalized. We shouldn't be even looking at them. And yet it's that very one who came back, and the other nine are likely Jews. And he's saying to those who are listening, don't put your faith in your heritage. The gospel is available to everyone who calls on his name, even to the marginalized. The Jews have no corner on the market here. It's only in Christ and all who come in Christ, salvation is available. Even to the most marginalized, who in some ways we write off. And Jesus is saying, don't. He is more than able to meet that need. So being at Jesus' feet, first we have the Samaritan. Secondly, this whole at feet thing shows an incredible attribute of saving faith. And it's this. Listen now, humility. You know, it's one thing to shout loud and to proclaim and extol his name, but there's another attribute here that he portrayed that is absolutely fascinating, because I don't see this too much, and that is humility. He fell forward at Jesus' feet, recognizing who he was, knowing that he was healed by his mercy, giving him thanks. You know, I was just doing a little bit of research on humility and thanksgiving, and one of the illustrations that popped up when I was researching this was this. The Maasai tribe in West Africa had an unusual way of saying thank you. They bowed, put their forehead in the dirt, get this, and said, "My head is on the ground before you." Another African tribe expresses gratitude by sitting for a long time in front of the hut of the person who did the favor and saying literally, "I sit on the ground before you." Now, for whatever reason, these Africans had what Thanksgiving is. They realized how difficult it is right down to the core. Thanksgiving is this. It's simply this, an act of humility. It acknowledges our debt to the other person. That's what the leper here, the one, did. He was acknowledging the debt that Jesus paid for him. Which is interesting now, because we get to verse 17. Catch this. And we're going to finish with this. Then Jesus answered, "Were 10 not cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this what? Foreigner. Except this marginalized person?" Again, emphasizing that it was probably the other 9 were Jews and only he was Samaritan. And he's using this illustration to show that the Jews didn't have the corner of the market when it comes to salvation. It was by faith, by grace, through Jesus alone. Not by what they did, where they can earn salvation by following all these ritualistic laws. These people missed the boat. They missed it completely. It's like with that guy who said, "Yeah, God did." What did it at the beginning with the illustration? No, what did he say? When the guy was lost in the forest, the guide let him out. So God missed his opportunity. Totally missed it. Here, the Jews, those 9, they totally missed the blessing. They totally missed what it was for. Those common grace things that happened to the lepers was screaming out to him, pointing to the Savior, saying, "Only Jesus can save." You're missing the point. Don't let it go over your head. This foreigner gets it. And where are the other 9? Verse 19, catch this now. And he said to him, "Rise and go your way." We may miss this, but catch it. "Your faith has made you well." Now, has made you well. We already know that he was healed. We already know that. So what is he saying this time? Spiritually, nailed it. Now, the word here is absolutely fascinating. And we don't want to get too technical, but it is sozo, is the Greek word here. It's used in the New Testament for being healed spiritually, not physically. There are other words that are used in the New Testament that talk about physical healing, which we don't need to go into. But only here, at this point, he uses the Greek word sozo, which says, "You are spiritually healed." Boom! You know, it's just like, yeah, that was all. It's so awesome. "He has made you well. You are saved from your sin. Rise and go your way." So fun. So fun. In Hebrews 13, 15 and 16, it says this: "Through him, let us," catch this, this is for Christians, this is for those who claim to be redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, "through him, let us continually offer a sacrifice of praise to God." That is, the fruit of our lips that acknowledge his name. If you're an underliner, if you're a highlighter, circle, put fluorescent lights around that verse. Like this should pop out for us right now. "Continually offer a sacrifice of praise." And here I am complaining at a yellow light. Shame on me. Every day we should be filled with gratitude so that God our Father gets the glory and not us. May we continually be offering up a sacrifice of praise. So let's wind this up. God has given us so many blessings, amen? Like, it's just the way that it is. Never mind all the things that we're traditionally thankful for. We just came through Thanksgiving weekend. You know, we can all say, "I'm thankful for the turkey. I'm thankful for a home. I'm thankful for this. And I'm thankful for yellow lights." You know, we can say that. But really, when it comes to it as believers, nothing, absolutely nothing compares to the saving grace of God. Amen. Jesus died on the cross for our sins. We've been set free by his grace and mercy from the power of sin. Like, if there's anything that should cause us as Christians to be joyful, I don't know what else to say. Because of that, we have peace with God. We have an eternal inheritance reserved just for us. Did we deserve this? Not a chance. It's all because of Christ. We didn't earn it. How much did it cost us? Nothing. How much did it cost Jesus? Everything. Romans 5, it says this, God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Is that not reason alone? Isn't that enough for us to be overflowing with praise? May we be truly, truly thankful this morning. May the fruit of our salvation produce an attitude of gratitude in our hearts. And it's something that we must do and be accountable for and on continually offering a sacrifice of praise. Because it's difficult, isn't it? I would rather grumble. It's easier. That's why I like the sacrifice of praise. I like that language. I like it. It helps me realize the gravity of what it means, of what Christ has done on our behalf. So, Heavenly Father, we learned this morning what you have the power to do. Oh, man. You know, I sit in awesome wonder at the weight of it all. I cannot lift that weight. And in Christ, you have done it for us, and we're grateful. So, Father, if we're here this morning and we don't know you, may this be a point where we recognize our need for you. May this be a point where not only do we admit our need, but we turn to you with trust and faith, knowing that only you can satisfy the wrath of God on our behalf, because you love us, because you've shown grace and mercy. But Lord, it takes an element of both faith and repentance that comes together, two sides of the same coin. Father, may you work in our hearts today. And as Christians, I pray that we would always go back to the gospel. Lord, that we would always remember who we are and who you are. You are our master, as those lepers cried out, and we are your slave. We are your doulos. Not our will, but yours be done in our life, so that you get the glory and not us. Father, I'd like to thank you for Hope Mission. I thank you for those who represent Hope Mission. I thank you for Kelly and for his passion to reach out to those who are marginalized. I want to thank you for Ruth Ann and for her story this morning. And again, it's unfair that it was so short, but Lord, I pray that we hear more stories like that. And Lord, if we in our little corner of the vineyard here at Bethany can contribute to that, Lord, may we be willing. May we with open hearts offer a sacrifice of praise this morning. Lord, I also pray that we would watch our hearts and guard our hearts when it comes to complaining. Lord, that is not a mark of our sanctification. That is not a mark of our salvation. So Lord, I pray that if that has been something that even us right now, any one of us, may we come to you with a broken heart, knowing that it is only you that can mend it back together again. But Father, forgive us for having a complaining spirit. May we realize that in Christ we have all the blessings necessary to be joyful. In Jesus' precious name, and all God's people said, amen. All right, I'm going to ask the Hope Mission people to come out.